You know, 1 Corinthians is one of my favorite books in the New Testament because it's real, right? It's Paul writing to a real church of real people with real problems, trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus in their real life. It's not a hypothetical, it's not a ideal, it's real. And Paul founds the church in Corinth around 50 AD. And so we think, our best guess, is this letter was written somewhere around 55 AD, maybe about 5 years later. And what happens is Paul leaves after about 2 to 3 years there, building the church, founding the church. He leaves, he puts a man named Apollos in charge. And Paul goes to Ephesus, start another church. And while he's in Ephesus, a group of people from Corinth, sent by Chloe, we assume, we don't know anything about Chloe, but we can just kind of assume she was a leader in the church. And she is reaching out to Paul to get some answers about some challenges that they're facing. And so they send Paul this list of problems that they're having as they try to figure out how a group of people from different places and different backgrounds follows Jesus together. And they ask Paul to help kind of guide them through some of these problems, and that's what becomes the 1 Corinthians. It's Paul writing back his responses to the problems. And so today it's our first problem. It's the first one that we hear about from Chloe's people, and it's about the division in the church. There's factions. Now, let me explain. In Paul's day, there are people weren't loyal to colleges. They were loyal to their teachers. Right, so now you might have a college that you're loyal to, right? I can imagine knowing you what some of those might be, right? You may have a college you're loyal to. You may feel like that's the best college experience someone could have to go there, and you might have other colleges in your mind that you're like, I can't. My child, no one I love will ever go to this school, right? That happens. Happens in Texas. In Paul's day, it's not about colleges. They don't have colleges like that, but they have teachers. And so what's happening in the church is they're trying to figure out who has the best training, who's the best teacher, and the question behind that question is, so we know who gets to be in charge, right? If you know, this degree means more than this degree, this teacher means more than this teacher. So the people who were trained by this person clearly are the best trained Christians, and they should be in charge. So Paul responds, he says, what am I hearing? You know, some of you are saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas. Now, Cephas is Peter, that Peter. And Peter was in Rome making disciples, and there was something that happened around this time in history. There's something called the Edict of Claudius, where the Emperor Claudius expelled the Jewish people from Rome for a period of about a decade. And so Jews and Christians who were Jews ethnically were forced to leave Rome and settle in different parts of the empire. So we can imagine in the city of Corinth, there was a group of people that came from Rome and said, well, we were trained by Peter. I mean, I don't hear any stories about Paul and Jesus, but I hear a lot about Peter and Jesus, right? So you can imagine how they felt. And so Chloe and her people bring this to Paul and say, listen, we've got these groups in the church. You know, they're going by who trained them and who's the one that should be in charge. What's the best group? Who's the best type of Christian? And Paul's response to them is something that, you know, it was a great reminder for us. Paul says, no, that's not even the right question to be asking. He says, there is no human leader that we put our trust in. And he even uses himself as an example. He says, was Paul crucified for you? When you were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, no. No, we all are followers of Jesus. That comes first. And then who taught us, who evangelized us, who instructed us, that comes after that. But we are all followers of Jesus. That comes first. He says the idea that some of you, based on who your human teacher is, might be better than others who follow Jesus is not the right spirit for the church. It's not the right spirit for the church. Now, St. Albans doesn't have this problem, right? St. Albans is not a church that has factions like that of who their teacher was. But in our previous church, where we lived in Wyoming, there was a pastor, a priest that was there for 40 years. If you can imagine that, 40 years. He started there when he was 30. He retired when he was 70. He was still attending every week and active until about he was 85 and passed away. So you can imagine that person was in that congregation as the rector for 40 years and then as a presence for another 15. So his initials were RC, and I only tell you that to tell you this story. In that town, there was, in the hospital, a religious census. Now, I don't know if this violates HIPAA or not, but it was just how this town worked. And so a pastor or priest from a church could go to the hospital and say, can I have the religious census? And it would say the names of the people who were in the hospital and what religion they were. And I guess there was some admission form if they said, do I want my religion known and the local church or pastor to know? And so maybe that's how they got around HIPAA. I don't know. But it would just be the names of who were in the hospital and their religion. And there were people. Now, before I got there, I would hear stories from other pastors that there was a group of people who had the initials next to their name, RC. And you would think RC meant Roman Catholic, but in that town, RC meant this priest was the only person who was allowed to come see them. They belonged to him. They were his people. He was it. If you weren't him, don't come. So they would literally put his initials by the patient. They only want him. Right? That was a scenario where some people would say, we belong to RC. And even in vestry meetings in my time there, and he had been passed away for a number of years, there were people who traced their time in the church back to him and would say, well, this is how he did it, so this is how we should do it, right? We belong to him. Not something that happens in St. Albans, right? There isn't a faction in St. Albans like that. But it is a good reminder for us as we think about some other ways we're divided today that the same principle applies, right? What Paul is telling them when it comes to the church is every human leader that you will hold up as a Messiah, as someone who you put above Jesus, is going to, one, fail you, two, disappoint you, and three, not be able to save you, right? They're going to fall short. Every human leader, even in the church, and my goodness, there's stories. I don't have to tell them. You can Google them of people who have put their faith in a human leader in the church only to be disappointed when the human leader acts human. And it's not just the church. Right? We could take that conversation, we could talk about politics, we could say any human leader that we put our trust in as a Messiah in our political world is going to fail us, disappoint us, not be able to save us. We could take it in our professional life. We could take that principle to so many different areas where we find ourselves divided. And Paul reminds us this, and this is a good message for our time. In a time that we're divided, in a time where there's contention, in a time where there's anger. If the church is going to be a place where there's healing, the church is going to be a place that's different, where there's love above differences, it's only going to work if Jesus is first. It's only going to work if Jesus is first. It can't work if we say, I belong to political party and I follow Jesus. Or I do this for a profession and I follow Jesus. Or I do this, whatever it is, and then I follow Jesus. If anything else for our identity, whatever it might be, comes in front of, I'm a follower of Jesus, it doesn't work. It's a recipe for division. If it's going to work, Jesus comes first. And so that's a great reminder for us. But Paul's speaking to the Corinthians saying, guys, if church is going to work, right? Jesus comes first. And we can say the same thing about church in the United States in 2026. You know the times. I don't have to tell you the the times. You know the times. And if church is going to work to be the healing presence of God, to be a shining light of the love of God in 2026, Jesus comes first. It has to be that way. And so Paul's reminder is a great reminder for us today. Any human being we elevate above him is going to surely disappoint us. But if we want to find our calling as those who share the love of God and bring the healing of God to a broken world, Jesus comes first. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.